This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, your support for striking New York City school bus drivers and job security.
Now we move along to Greece. The radical coalition of the left, Syriza, has become Greece's second largest party following its dramatic success in parliamentary elections. It has campaigned steadfastly against the recovery blueprint for Greece drawn up by the European Union and International Monetary Fund. The party is led by the country's youngest political leader, Alexis Tsipras.
On Building Bridges, Tsipras talks about the unpopular EU-IMF plan, known in Greece as the Memorandum, and says that the election result represented radical change, both in Greece and Europe, showing that people are not prepared to settle for barbarous memorandums and bailouts. Now Alexis Tsipras, a member of the Hellenic Parliament, president of the Synaspismos political party since 2008, and head of Syriza parliamentary group since 2009, and leader of the opposition since June 2012, speaks to us.
I'm coming from the country which has chosen as the guinea pig in the so-called attempt of the European Union leadership to resolve the economic crisis. In my country, the people of lower incomes that have not created the crisis are paying for it. Workers are losing their jobs and their income is being dramatically decreased. Young people of an educated and skilled generation are migrating. Pensioners are watching their standards of living going back to that they had when they were young children. 2.5 years of the implementation of the memorandum have rendered Greece a desert country. We are already on the 5th year of recession, and I believe that this is an unprecedented economic and social tragedy in whole Europe post-war history. The GDP fell by 25%. The poverty level climbed from 23% of the population in 2008 to 30% in 2012. The unemployment rate rose from 7.8% in 2008 to 30% within 2012. The new liberals say that the crisis is a big opportunity, but the question is, opportunity for whom? A big opportunity for the rich to become even richer, a big opportunity to eliminate labor rights conquered a century ago, a big opportunity for private capital, local as well as global, a big opportunity for private capital to obtain the public wealth and the public space. Representing the European left, not only the Greek left, but also the European left, because our party, Syriza, is a member of the European Left Party. We have been utterly vindicated for our predictions of the crisis. In contrast, Europe's dominant political powers that handle the economic crisis with political tools of fiscal and extreme austerity in context of dogmatism and over-conservative relevance to that of the Tea Party have failed miserably. Europe and the USA in 2008 were found in the middle of a huge economic crisis. However, in Europe, they selected a solution which is in fact no solution. This is why that besides the countries of the South, today it is also the countries of the North that feel the threat of the recession and the economic crisis. It's not the peculiarities of the South which are responsible for the crisis. It's the medicine which is wrong. The recipe of austerity, priority to the banks and not the people of work, loans in order to repay loans, demolition of the state, is the wrong recipe which can cause a domino effect not only in Greece and not only within Europe. The painful example of Greece allows me to say that we are experiencing an economic war against society, against growth, employment, against democracy. The Greek government enforced civil conscription using an unconstitutional law remaining from the military dictatorship period against the strikers. The shock doctrine in full implementation. In this time of economic crisis, the general sense of justice must be strengthened, together with a strengthening of democracy itself. Otherwise, there is the risk that the governance will pass into the hands of an economic elite. There is also the risk of provoking the rise of dangerous neo-Nazi beliefs. The result will be the same: less democracy, less education, less freedom. The response of the left is different: more democracy, more freedom, more education, and more Europe. All this time that the economic crisis is devouring Europe, many accused us as being an anti-European and for supporting the return in our national currency. This is not true. We are the real European party because we want to protect Europe of the austerity that creates disaster, because we want to protect solidarity, democracy, and the principles and values of equality. This is the real, the true European principles, if we want to have the idea of a European Union. The alternative strategy of Syriza is based in three pillars. First pillar is an immediate termination of austerity. Instead of imposing pro-cyclical cuts to the lower incomes, we propose that Greece should reach a primary surplus by increasing tax revenue and spending to the European average. The rich and the tax evaders must pay their share of taxes. Second pillar is the idea of a European debt conference for a collective European solution for the European debt problem, and more precisely for Greece, annulment of a large part of the debt with a development growth clause for its payment. Syriza has suggested the calling of the European summit on the debt in order to regulate collectively and once and for all the debt crisis in the Eurozone, based on the London summit in 1953 for Germany's debt. This is the only realistic as well as beneficial solution for everyone, for the taxpayers as well as the creditor countries, so that the taxpayers stop throwing their savings in a barrel without bottom, which has been opened by the austerity measures in the indebted countries. This solution could tackle the increase of the public debt across the Eurozone, as the unsuccessful and above all destructive austerity policy has rendered Greece's public debt not viable and out of any control. 2013 will not be the last year of recession for Greece, as claimed by the Greek government and the Troika lenders. In its report last December, the prestigious Kiel Institute of the World Economy reconciled economics with common logic by predicting a recession of 1% rate for 2014, not 2013, for the next year, and unemployment in 2014, 31%, the official unemployment. As the recession will have completed in 2014, 7 consecutive full years, and the annulment of a big part of the nominal value of the debt is not only inevitable, but it's the indispensable condition in order to get our country out of recession and spark the economic recovery. Greece is being today, live today between corruption and poverty. They are overtaxing those whose incomes have been reduced 2 and 3 times. They think that by putting taxes they will have bigger revenues. But if you put taxes to someone who had no opportunity to pay, you don't take money. This is the real truth. What they did in October, they increased the taxes in the heating oil by 40%. What was the result? People stopped buying heating oil, and they tried to heat their homes by everyone else solution they had. So Greece is back in 1950s, namely wood stoves and fireplaces. So our third pillar of our proposals is about the structural reforms. For the progressive reform of the tax system, the reform of the public administration, the change of the political system. They accuse Syriza that Syriza is against the structural reforms. It is not true. But we don't believe that the structural reforms could be done by them, the political system, who create this corruption political system. So every day that passed is a day that brings into light the role, the real role of the three-party government. They are trying with all their powers to cover that they can the corruption scandals to which they are connected themselves, to cover their responsibilities in this scandal. And first of all, they try to protect the oligarchy, which is being evading taxes and transferring its funds out of Greece. Just a few days ago, the International Monetary Fund admitted that there has been a mistake in a multiplier. They couldn't analyze and they couldn't calculate how big will be the recession. So it's a polite way of saying that the economic recovery plan has blatantly failed. And unfortunately, it has multiplied crisis, poverty and recession. This program cannot be just admitted as a failure. One must change it. I'm not saying that Greece was a model country. On the contrary, it was run by a triangle of political and economic power consisted by the political parties, media and banks that dissolved its productive base, borrowed and invested in the stock market, supported the big capital and spawned huge scandals. All these were covered up. This is the situation we want to overturn. This is the policy we want to change. That is why we are being characterized as dangerous from conservative circles. But I have the same question. Dangerous for whom? Dangerous for the citizens? Dangerous for the people? Or dangerous for the speculators? For the financial markets? Dangerous for Mrs. Merkel? The conservative circle says that we are dangerous because we are stating the obvious, because we say that the memorandum, recession and austerity is opposed to the laws of economics, is opposed to the laws of humanism. Syriza's radical left politics is not about getting Greece out of the Eurozone, and they know that well, but they say that we are dangerous. Yes, we are dangerous for this strategy. Our radical left label signifies that we are ready to radically reform the state in order to create an environment of justice, redistribution of wealth, and investment. It signifies that we will demand a new deal for Europe that mobilizes our contingent's productive capacities against want, against poverty, and against hopelessness. It signifies that the neoliberal memorandum is finished, that the neoliberal memorandum is dead, and it's time for Greek, European, and global reconstruction plan that puts people over profits. Some people used to ask me, can you convince Mrs. Merkel to change strategy? I'm not sure that I will convince her, but I'll try to do. I reply, we, the Greeks, can convince Europe, people of Europe, not Mrs. Merkel. Because we are not the one and only nation to undergo the knife of austerity. We were initially used as the guinea pig we now stand as an example, as a paradigm. People in Spain, in Italy, Portugal, look upon Greece and see pictures of their own future. That is why, if things change in Greece, the whole European picture will change. Austerity, if you have a political change in Greece, austerity will be questioned in the heart of Europe and in whole Europe. And the need for the new fundamentals of the European Union will be hard to deny. We have to prove altogether that all the disasters humanity has lived in the past and that we have made us become richer. It is true that we are here to find alliances. And of course, we don't believe that we can alone solve our problems. Not only because we are in globalization, whatever happened in Greece and in the United States, relation, but also because this complex of economic fight, we believe that we are in a war, but this war is a global war, it's not a local war, but this war is not between countries, between nations, between people. It's a global war, a world war, between the labor forces at the capital. And we believe and we feel that in this world war between the labor forces and the speculating capitals, the first line of this world war is in Greece. They try to have a guinea pig of neoliberal policies in Greece. And that's why we believe, as in even war, the first line is a very crucial line. If in the first line we try to win the fight, this is very crucial for not only for the fight in the first line, but for the result in the world war. That's why it's very crucial and very important to try to win in Greece. And that's why the last June, we had all our enemies against Syriza. We felt like a ghost was all over the Europe and world, like Mark said. And this ghost was Syriza. We're very dangerous. We didn't have only our political enemies, opponents in Greece. Mr. Samaras, New Democracy, the other parties. We had all the speculator funds against Syriza. We have all the mass media in Europe. So thank you for hearing me, and I hope... I hope that we have a common interest.
And you've been listening to Alexis Tsipras, who is the leader of the Syriza Parliamentary Group and perhaps the next leader of Greece.
Let's hope so. And now, since Wednesday, January 16th, our brothers and sisters, members of Local 1181, have been on strike, walking picket lines in this sub-zero weather in protest of New York City's most recent special education contract bid, which would exclude their employee protection provisions, known as EPPs.
The bid fails to protect both special education students and New York City's most experienced and safe drivers and escorts. Local 1181 members all come from modest means, and keeping their EPPs, their job security, is about maintaining their livelihood and their union.
We're joined by Jimmy Hedges, ATU Union Local 1181 member. And Jimmy, thank you so much for holding the fort. And of course, Jimmy is also an executive board member, delegate. And we're going to hear a little later from one of the parents, Sarah Catalinotto, who's going to tell us about some support demonstrations. But Jimmy, catch us up on the negotiations, if you will, which the mayor has steadfastly refused to participate in.
Okay, first I'd like to thank you guys so much for having us on and for getting our side of the story out. It seems like a lot of the media doesn't doesn't want to or just not interested in telling our members' side of the story, so to speak. Today, the union met with owners at Gracie Mansion under the stewardship of a mediator. And the mediator that was chosen to conduct the meeting was retired Judge Mullen, who is still practicing law. Judge Mullen is the judge who, in 1979, brokered the deal that ended the strike that lasted 14 weeks when they came up with the Mullen Agreement, which includes the employee protection provision. And he heard from the union today, he heard from the owners today, and is supposed to report back to the mayor. So we're hoping that when he reports back to the mayor, this will prompt the mayor into getting involved personally, because without the city being part of this negotiation, the owners can't grant the employee protection provision. Only the city can. And if they don't participate, it makes it very difficult for this to go much further.
And is that just because the city's putting out the bid?
Yes. The city put out the bid, and when they put the bid out, they removed the protection from the bid, which has been in all K through 12 bids for 47 years.
And, Jimmy, just remind us why the employee protection provision, which is at the heart of this dispute, is so important both for the workers and for the parents.
Okay, the employee protection provision allows an employee whose company loses work, goes out of business, or for any reason is displaced to go onto a master hiring list and then is placed in the first available job that comes up in the industry. We've had this protection in our contract, like I said, for 47 years. And this year, when the National Safety Council came out with their survey on the safest school bus districts in the country, New York City school buses were the number one safest school bus district in the country. It's hard to argue with being number one. And it works because the senior drivers that get displaced from one company go on a master list and get to be placed in another company.
Jimmy, let me also ask you, the mayor has claimed that it is an impossibility, that indeed it is illegal to maintain the EPPs in the bids that they're putting out. What's wrong with that? It's a lie. Tell us why.
We believe the court decision that the mayor is pointing to does not come from our bid, does not come from a K through 12 bid. It comes from a decision from the pre-K industry, which didn't have the track record that our industry has. Part of the decision-making by the judge that when he put this restriction on the pre-K industry was because they could not show a past practice of this Mullen Agreement, the EPP, Employee Protection Provision, as saving money. And the way that it does save money is it stops work stoppages, stops overtime for the police that have to be at all of these garages, the loss of classroom time for the kids, the reimbursement that the city can get from the state for the children who are missing school. And the city didn't put any of those equations into the pre-K industry when they having this case about the Mullen Agreement in pre-K, which, by the way, really never had it before.
Jimmy, the whole thing, according to the mayor, is to find a way to save money. Do you think they could find a way to save money without destroying workers' lives? And also,
yeah, absolutely.
Could they contract this thing in and get rid of the profits and of the bus company operators? Is that one way?
Reasoning behind what they want to do is if they were to put out a bid every 5 years and not put any protections in, they would be taking away the seniority rights of those people every 5 years. It would be like somebody yanking away your resume and making you start over at a new entry-level position every 5 years. And we know and we believe that that's impossible to keep the senior workers and the experienced workers if they continue to do that.
And we're going to bring on Sarah Catalinotto, member of Parents to Improve School Transportation. We know that there are approximately 5,000 of the city's 7,700 school bus routes that have been shut down. Why should we support these workers?
Parents, in spite of the hardship of the strike, appreciate that the ATU is not giving in to this effort to undercut both safety for children and justice for the workers. We called a solidarity caravan for this Saturday.
Saturday?
Because, yes, we want the strikers in these far-flung industrial areas.
Give us the coordinates, because we're not going to have that much time to... People
okay.
are just going to
no,
have to go.
Any picket line of the ATU, which you can get a few of them on the NYS AFL-CIO/safety-first, 1ST, and or contact pissednyc@gmail. Exchange signs and drive carefully through streets so people can see that this is happening.
What time is the caravan?
Starting at 12. Starting all over, like the spokes of a wheel, at the different various picket lines to exchange signs and support. And then those who are not busy picketing and, you know, the various supporters will drive along towards Bloomberg's house on 79th Street, make a loop there, Madison 5th, or whatever we're, you know, as close as we're able to get. And get a message out that he should negotiate sooner rather than later, which is what our children need.
This is about going and supporting our sisters and brothers on the picket lines. ATU Local 1181. Jimmy, we are with you. Make sure you bring him some hot chocolate. Get him some donuts. We're going to fatten you up during this strike, but not too much because we know you're going to be back soon.
And there's a demonstration tomorrow also at 3:30 at the Tweed Courthouse building. Be there and then be there on Saturday.
And we'll keep you posted on this. Jimmy, stay strong. And Sarah, thank you very much. Support our sisters and brother workers because we are supporting ourselves and the working class. Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.